John Wainwright in beginning the visit with Mr. Eastman and Jeffrey Sterling and Marvin, but Miss Mary came, but she didn't talk. So this Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74, John Wainwright in beginning the visit with Mr. Eastman and Jeffrey Sterling, he doesn't talk, and Marvin, and then Miss Mary, she visits with Miss with Mamu. This Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74. John Wainwright, the beginning of visit, Mr. Eastman. This Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74, with Jeffrey Sterling and then Marvin. This Mr. Eastman, Channel Wainwright. This Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74. John Wainwright, beginning to visit Mr. Eastman, then Jeffrey Sterling and Marvin, this Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74.
Going the same direction that I was, and right just up above me.
Right
over here. Yeah. Dad Burning. Right at you.
Oh, you're going right just over the top of me there.
Yeah. And you thought your car was falling apart.
I thought the car was making a lot of extra noise.
Yeah.
I don't hear too good anyway, you know.
You're just going to fall apart on you.
Huh? Yeah.
You thought you're just going to fall apart on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been fixing pumps?
Been what?
Working on pumps?
Yes, everything.
Ms. Eastman said you had a lot of emergencies.
Yeah. I just come from one now. With a widow woman's got a toilet and the water was running through it. And I don't know. I got it stopped so it don't run through, but it may have to put a new ball cock on. You know where that plunger goes up and down in there, they get war, you know, and a little, what do you call, little flange weller wears on there, you know, and I got it kind of loosened up, but those ridges there don't sometimes catch again.
You see, he knows about all this equipment, Jeffrey. Mr. Eastman, he's been working on it, see, from year one. And what a fellow ought to do, you see, he ought to hire out to him, and the wages he paid, it wouldn't be anything, but you see, you just get all he knows. He could just empty it over all that information, you see. Now, he wouldn't charge you for that. But the way they work now, Mr. Eastman, they ain't interested in learning much. They just want the money, don't they?
That's right. Well, I've stopped down to the power company twice, and I couldn't find the boss in down there, and I tried to call him on the telephone a couple of times, and I still didn't get a hold of him. So.
Yeah.
But the code book don't say anything about those pole entrances anymore, and I've never seen one in Florida. I've never seen one in Florida.
Willie Chitty's got one.
Who?
Willie Chitty.
Who's that?
Well, he lives out in the Shiloh community.
Huh?
He lives out in the Shiloh community.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, he knows how to do it.
Well,
if he wasn't.
I know how to do it, but I don't know whether they allow it or not.
Well, they allow him.
That's what I was trying to find out from the power company down there.
Pole? Temporary pole?
He wants to know what you mean by pole.
Well, the power company there comes to this pole, and you come down the pole and put a meter on here, see? Well, and a disconnect service box. Well, then you got to come out of that service box and go back up this pole. Well, then you take off from the top of that pole and go over to this building, or go over to that building, or over another building, or over here to one, don't you
see? And you got
to
break a box every way
so
you go.
It's all in one box. It's all in 1 meter. But now they're trying to make you put a different meter on for everything. Now I know here's the trailer places like down there where Hargett was. Every one of them apartments had to have a different meter on.
Sure.
See? And that's what they're trying to make you put in more meters so as to
increase
their income.
Are you going to run more than one thing off of it?
Hmm?
Are you going to run more than one building off of it?
No, they're making them put a service on every building down there. In the same way with every trailer in these trailer courts. Every trailer's got to have their own meter and their own septic tank. And down there to that Mary Blue Farms down there. They got two trailers set right here, right side beside. You know, they're about, 25, 30 feet apart. Now those two trailers, they both belong to the Mary Blue Farm, and they're both of them have got work hands living in them, see? So the Mary Blue's got to pay for the electricity what either one of them uses, or what both each one of them uses. Well, now they could just as well be right on the same meter and use the same septic tank, but either they won't allow them.
In your home, and you don't plan to rent anything out.
No, I know it. That's what I was going to try to explain to him down there. Is you're just going to use that for an office.
Do it. Use it for a workroom. Workshop.
Workshop.
Or a office, or a storage. He did one down here. He don't have anything.
What's he got?
They weren't going to hook him up.
Yeah.
And he said, "What am I going to do with these horses up here? Just let them starve for water?" And they come up here and connected it.
Yeah.
He got a well pump down there, you see.
How many feet would you have to run a line underground?
How many feet?
Underground.
I don't know. You can see that out there. I don't run them underground. I keep them up where I can see them. I got electrocuted one of these well pumps on it.
Good idea to run wire
underground. Maybe for you.
Yeah, maybe for me.
You gotta remember where it is. I think it's perfect screwball. They put the telephone line in there. And there's absolutely no marker for that telephone line.
Yeah.
It's been cut a time or two. You can't dig out there, but what, you know, you stand a chance of cutting that telephone line. It's underground. Well, fortunately, it won't electrocute you. All it'll do is just cut off your
telephone.
You talk about their electrocuting. I used to put up a lot of these electric fences And there's another fellow up there, a farmer. Another man's hogs kept running over on him, and he didn't like it. So he had that, he put that wire around the bottom there, you know, up just high enough so the hog would try to crawl under it. Jesus, hooked it onto the electric line. Jesus, the first thing he knew, we had 3-4 hogs electrocuted. And then them two neighbors, they had a hell of a time. Jesus, they got in a lawsuit over it. I put up electric fence one time for hogs. And the fellow that lived there had a horse that was sick, and he was turned out there, and he was running around with his head flopping, you know, around. The fellow's father-in-law said, "Jesus, you better show him where that electric fence is so he won't get tangled in it." He said, "Lead him up to it and put his nose onto it." So the fellow had the horse by the hauler, got him up there, and he put his nose onto it, and Jesus, I suppose he got a hell of a shot. That horse reared right up on his hind feet, and he swung right around, and Jesus, here goes Frankie hanging on the halter and his feet right out straight, going right there around. Jesus, old Joy says, "Well, God, that horse ain't sick." That horse ain't sick.
Yeah. Mr. Eastman, we had a little low fence up there in the North 40, up there towards the Latra, where I first hung out my shingle. And we wanted to keep the cows, that's what it was. We wanted to keep the cows. I had a little corn there, and one thing or another, and the fence wasn't any good. So we strung that electric fence along there, on the top and one in the middle. And you know what? The dogs came along. And you know the way a dog will do, he'll put his foot up there and sort of scoot over it. Well, he scooted over that, and it caught him right here in the belly, you know. And that dog couldn't move. And all he could do was just yelp. And let me tell you, they were two sturdy, young, healthy dogs, and they were so damn scared they went under the house and stayed for a week. That's the truth. They had to go up and they had to go in there and bring them out.
Yeah.
They were so scared. I saw that.
There was a fella up home there had quite a big farm, and he had this one cow, Jesus, she'd go right through any damn fence, you know. And they had a steel poke on her, and still, Jesus, she'd go right straight through. So I put up one of the strongest electric fences that I had and hooked it on there. And this fella said, "Jesus," he said, "I'd like to see her try that." And got it about 10 minutes afterwards. And we see her heading for out there. And we watched, and she went up, you know, and she just got that steel poke tangled in that wire. And if you ever heard a cow beller,
yeah, they can do it.
And she started right backwards, and by God, I'll tell you, I bet you that she went a half a mile backwards right around that lot, and bellering, old boy, how she did bawl.
Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, my old fences, the last calf crop or two I had here, my old fences are so rotten, you see, I couldn't keep the calves in. And at a certain stage, you know, they'll go through a fence. Now, when they go on and grow up a little bit, they learn to respect the fence, even if it ain't any good, they won't go through it. But these did. And you know what? I looked all over this country for one of them steel yokes, or whatever you call it.
Yeah, steel pokes.
Yes. And you know, now that shows you how we've progressed. We've progressed so far that there ain't a steel poke in this whole country, in the store anywhere else. Well, you say, I could have made one.
Mm.
Well, I could do a lot of things, but I don't.
Yeah, well, you see, this cow here dragging that steel pole, you know, on the bottom of it, dragging right on the ground. Of course, when it hit that fence, we could see the damn firefly, you know, and boy, I'm telling you, she went back out of that.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what I done one time. I knew that there was an electric fence there, and I went up and I put my hand against it like that, and I didn't feel nothing, you know. So I started to go through the fence, and I got just about halfway through, and boy, now I'm telling you, I went the next 20 feet in a hurry. Jesus, I'm telling you, that throwed me right through there for about 20 feet.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the ground damp. Yes, sir. Yeah, they got a right smart little prickle to them.
Yeah, if you know there's an electric fence, you know, you just take your hand and put on like that, because if you come a hole like that, you know, geez, it'll get you, but if you just touch it like that, it'll throw you away, see?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought it was the other way around.
Well, I thought that I fell a bit there two or three times, you know, and I thought maybe it just turned off. So just as I got started through there, there's one wire up here and another one here, you know, and I holding it down and getting through. And I went the next 20 feet in a hurry.
You had the experience.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Eastman, I've handled them, and I take a hold of them. I don't mess with them like that. I take a hold of it and hold it. But you know what? I never have got so. But what I don't flinch when I go up to one of them electric fences. And I've noticed these cows, they'll go up there, and a lot of times they don't have to go all the way. Seems like they can just sort of smell it from a foot or two off.
Well, you can take the electric fence down, and they won't go over the place where it's been.
Back when I was a young lad, we had a 1914 Ford. And it started up, and you know, the spark plugs in them days had a cap that you screwed down on top of the wire. Well, this one here was loose, you know, and it was going round, 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 and I thought they were going to come off. So I took a pair of pliers, you know, and I take hold of that and turn it. You know where them pliers went? There was a damn big window right there on the side to go out, and them pliers went right out through that window.
The window was open, I hope.
I know, it took out two glasses right out of it. It hit right in the middle, you know, right where that spindle goes up in the middle there. It hit right in the middle there and took both of them right out, spindling them all.
Yeah. Mr. Eastman, I had some cows that got out of my place one time. And I tried to get them off. I tried to make them go back through the fence, and they wouldn't do it. There was plenty there, you see. So I took the posts out. I took several posts out, or at least took staples out, and just put the fence down on the ground.
Yeah.
And you know, those old cows somewhere along the line had experience with electric fence, and I couldn't drive them over that damn fence. And they were hard-headed about it. They was contrary.
Yeah.
And I had somebody out there helping me, and we couldn't get them over that fence. I was trying to get them over my property.
They weren't about to go.
No, they weren't about to go.
I need to get home for supper. I hate to rush off into such a pleasant afternoon.
He got a place over here in the boondocks, Mr. Eastman. Way back over there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Way over towards Shiloh. It's not even a grade road.
Then?
No.
Thank goodness.
No electricity.
No electricity.
Just an alley back in there.
Yeah. Well, what do you call it? A lane or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
The old county line road.
The old county line road.
Well,
and he got everything over there, you see, and he's a carpenter,
yeah.
amongst other things. And he's way off the electric line. And they'll put a line back there to him if he'll pay $20 a month minimum for the next 35 years. Of course, if he moves off, he won't pay it, but as long as he's there, he got to pay at least $20 a month.
Well, back years ago, when I was farming, we didn't have no electricity. And they was going to put a line up on the hill there. And they were charge us $9.50 a month. See? My mother-in-law, she went right up in the air. Why? She said, you never can pay that. Well, I did, and after I'd had it in a few months, she wondered how we're making out. Well, I said, I don't know how we ever got along without it.
$9.50 sound like a lot of money, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Every month, yeah. Coming around so regular. That's the trouble. It keeps you hopping.
Keeps going.
Yes, sir. I told him just move his old house up that little closer to the line.
No, I ain't gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that. No, sir.
He's gonna stay in the boondocks. Well, we got Jeffrey back over here on this
I'll
side of the line.
I'll come back and visit you.
Jeffrey and George visit.
Yeah. Nice meeting you, Mr. Eastman.
We're
not so far from here.
Well, I wanted to have a talk with that electric fellow down here and see what he had to say about it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get a hold of him. Stopped in twice down there. I stopped in this morning. I had to go to Ocala and get some tuba tools and some plywood.
What do you call that, Mr. Eastman? What do you call that out there, if you put it out there?
That's what they'd call a pole entrance.
A pole entrance. Let me call Willie and see what he knows about it.
That's a pole entrance.
Willie, get it. WP. Yes, Guy. Just coming. How are you? Is your husband close by? Is he putting something in his mouth? Well, let me ask him a question. Pole entrance. What are you eating? Where'd you get that? Willie, you know when you put in this wiring over here, we was going to put that breaker box out there on the pole. Huh? A long time ago, wasn't it? Well, let me tell you, I'm overloaded now. I just got too damn much electrical furniture in here now. And what I'm thinking about, if I could put a pole entry out there and run some of it into the house and some of it out to the shed and places like that, with like you did, you know, out there at that little trailer. that right? The zoning board. No. Well, I guess it'd be the same. They won't attach you to a trailer unless you've got a septic tank. And same thing, isn't it? How about just talking to the Florida Power man? He's right down here below me. Right on. Sure. No. I just bought 1 meter, don't I? Let me tell you. You tell Sybil that it just is she going back to work? Well, that's what I was afraid of. And you see, Miles is going back too. They come over here, and we had a big time, and we were going to keep that going there for a little while. And now he's going back to work. Hell, people go to work. You can't find them. Then they come home at night, and what good are they? I'll see you. Come see us. Mr. Eastman?
He said, just like you did, that you'd have to see the Florida Power man about it. My experience with the Florida Power men is they don't know a damn thing. The ones that, you know, we get. I guess you get a hold of good ones.
Well, we didn't get very far, Faye. I called Willie. He's eating supper.
Yeah.
And he said just what Miss Teasman did, that he thought it would work all right. But you know, things change so fast, you'd have to get somebody somewhere along the line to sort of pass on it.
Yeah.
That's what Miss Teasman said.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that I tell you, we used to put in quite a few of them up north there, but I haven't seen a darn one down here in Florida.
Well, they I don't know.
Well, how do they manage, Mr. Eastman, when they've got all the outbuildings and all? You know,
yeah.
All these people, you take over that, those horse farms, how do they manage there? They don't have a meter for ever stall in the barn, do they?
No. But I know down there at that Mary Blue farm there, Jesus, they've got a meter on the horse barn.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. There's one on the house, and there's one on the barn down there to that horse farm. And then they got them two trailers out there, and by God, there's one on each one of them trailers.
Yeah.
Well, they rent them.
Well, they hire them fellas with a place to live. See, they get so much and a place to live.
They cook us up a little something.
Got it ready.
We'll put it on. We'll eat a little bit. I'm getting weak.
Well, I wanted to talk to him down there and see whether we could take and put that entrance right on the pole that they've got there, or whether we'd have to get a pole and set. I know you'd have to buy one pole to put down there by the trailer. But them other trailers, you know, same as your trailer sets here, and I set this pole right here with a meter on it, and they set another pole right over here. Well, it ain't more than 10 feet from where I set this pole, mm-hmm. And they run their wire over to that, and then from their pole over to this pole. Even when I go down this pole here and down through the meter, and go down under the ground. There's an underground service in there because it's a all-electric trailer. And it goes down under the ground and comes back up into the trailer, see? And they make you put that all in that plastic pipe, that PVC pipe.
They plan on it staying there. They don't plan on you moving around, do they?
No, they don't plan on us moving around. Now this fellow here lives over in the Shiloh district, huh?
Mm-hmm. He's a young fella, and he loves to sort of be by himself, and he builds furniture, and he's a pretty good carpenter. Well, you know, a fellow like that, he did like you are. He gets into a little something new every day. You see, he's
building furniture and repairing it. Huh?
I don't know just what his operation is. He makes furniture. He makes some. That takes pretty good carpenter, doesn't it?
It's a different line of work. It's more of a cabinet work.
Yeah.
Up home there.
Mr. Eastman, you had supper?
Yeah.
Give him some more, Faye.
Up home. Don't need any. Up home there was they used to run these commission auctions. Up there, you know, livestock and everything. And there was a fellow from New York City used to bring up a truckload of furniture, secondhand furniture, every week. Well, they had their sale on Thursday, see? Well, he'd pull in up there on Monday night or Tuesday morning early, and there'd be some of that furniture would be damaged some, you know, the same as the Davenport would have a leg knocked off, or some of them overstuffed chairs would have a leg knocked off, maybe all broke up. Well, they'd call me up, and geez, I'd go up and fix it up and repair it up, see, fix it, getting it ready for sale. And you know, they brought up one darn nice dining room suit. God, it was a nice one there. And they had six chairs and a table and a china closet and a buffet and a server and everything. And you know, there wasn't a scratch on any of that furniture in any way, but one thing. There was one chair that was smashed all to pieces coming up. He says, and how the devil it got done, he don't know. But he wanted me to rebuild that chair, but oh God, it was all splintered and everything, you know. And hell, I said, you sell it just the way it is and tell them just what there is to it, and you'll get more out of it than you would if somebody see a chair that had been repaired one thing or another, they think maybe some more of them was. See? Well, he did. God, he got a darn good price out of it. But there wasn't a scratch on that anywhere but that one chair, and that one chair was smashed all to pieces.
Yeah. I'm darn.
But I used to fix up a lot of it for him.
You haven't fixed up your, you actually don't have a workshop up there.
Well, not too much. I've been going to fix that south end of the building, that carport.
Yeah.
Fix that into one there, but geez, I haven't had a minute to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, now, you got those,
I got them doors there, see, that I'm going to put around there, but it takes time to put them around.
I know it.
See, and I've got...
Well, you'll have to get your... find your fella and hire somebody to put them up for you.
Well, geez, I can't find nobody to do nothing to help me do anything.
Mr. Eastman?
Have you tried?
Yes.
There just isn't anybody that does what you do.
Well, geez, they won't help you. You can't get them... You talk to some of them colored guys, what, me work? Hell, the government's keeping me. Now, that's just the way they feel. No matter how old they are, you got the young ones are just as bad as the old ones.
Oh, yeah?
When I was down there at Johnny Palmer's, building that walk-in cooler there, you know, I tried to get some of them colored fellows down there to help me. You couldn't get them to help you do nothing.
Well, Mr. Palmer keeps them up.
Yeah. God, Johnny was in the hospital, and I was going to send him some flowers over there to kind of keep him company. And Jesus, he got back down the store.
That when he hurt his knee?
Huh? No, just last week here.
He was in the hospital.
Yeah, he was at Williston in the hospital last week.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, I come by there one day, and he was sitting over there talking to a fella at his desk, and he didn't look right.
No, he hadn't looked right there for a week. And finally he went to the doctor, and the doctor put him in the hospital.
And he wouldn't stay.
Well, I don't know whether he stayed as long as they wanted him to or not, but geez, he don't look good now.
Red in the face.
Well, he's pretty damn white right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He didn't look like John at all. I was in down there Friday, I guess it was. In down there, and he didn't look a bit good.
Well, he was trying to be jolly, but he was having a hard time that morning when I went by there. And I was telling him what you said about he lost his night watchman.
Yeah.
And he said... He says it's no problem. He says that he takes it one night and Eddie takes it next night.
Yeah.
I told you that.
Yeah.
It no problem. It'll just kill him is all.
That's all.
Well, nobody can stand that 24 hours a day.
I tried that once.
You working day and night?
I worked 16 hours a day for 4 months.
Mr. Eastman,
yeah.
I didn't think you were that nutty.
Yeah, and I worked 16 hours a day for 4 months. I had a $40,000 building contract on the school,
uh-huh.
And in order to hold the public money, we had to do just so much and get it done in just such a certain time, see? And so if I had to run two, I had 17 men working.
Yeah.
And I worked both shifts, see?
Yeah. And it put you in the hospital.
Indeed, it put me in bed with a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's what did it.
Yeah.
That moonlight won't do, Mr.
Yeah.
Palmer doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
Well, what is it, Mr. Weaver, Mr. Eastman?
You take it with them fellows there, you know, the more they get, the more they want.
You reckon that's it?
Yeah.
Because he got so much, he don't know what to do with it.
I know it. That's the reason he's buying all that damn stuff.
Yeah. Because he's got to have somewhere to put his money.
Jesus. He's buying an awful bunch of stuff.
Well, I tell you, I'd sure miss him, wouldn't you?
Yes, I guess so.
But I wouldn't work, put in all that time, Miss Eaton.
I know, but the way the situation is right now, there's one of these days, and I don't think it's too far off, when things are going to go plunk like they did in 29.
Think so.
And when they goes plunk like that, what's these fellows like Johnny Palmer going to do?
Well, what are they going to do?
Well, now you take that stuff that they've got in there, and we'll say that he paid $100 for some particular thing.
Yeah.
Things go plunk, and it's worth about $25, where's his other $75 gone?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You take your dollar today, it's worth about 35 cents.
Yeah.
Of what it was back 50 years ago.
Yeah. But you let it go kapunk like that, and it'll be worth $2.
Well, I don't know whether it will or not. But I'm looking for it. Now, you take your stock market right now, your stock market's in the lowest ebb that it's been in a good many years.
You keep up with that?
And it's keep it going down, keep it going down. Well, that's what it done in 29, you know.
Yeah. And then finally it just went all the way. And that's not just this country.
Yeah. The same way, you know, you take them Franklin automobiles.
Yeah.
Jesus, they were a very popular air-cooled automobile, you know. And you got good gas mileage from them and everything. When that 29 brake come, well, they went busted. And everybody that had any money invested in there, they just lost all they had.
Just lost all they had. Yeah.
Sure, my old man lost a lot.
Yeah. Is that right?
There was another one. There was a, I don't know if you ever heard of it or not, but the van wheel.
No.
They made aluminum wheels for trucks. And they went busted too. That was another Syracuse concern. And God, there was a lot of them that went, that lost all their money in that. And that was a big operation too, same as them Franklin automobiles.
I remember the Franklin automobile. That radiator, the hood kind of tapered off in front.
Yeah. Yeah, the front tapered right up. Didn't have no radiator on, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Three?
It's all air cooled. You don't want to buy a good used 1941 Packard.
You know where the one is?
Huh?
Did you get one at the auction or something?
No, got it. It's that a fellow down the Orange Lake got it, 1941 Packard.
Yeah.
And it's for sale. And geez, it looks pretty good too.
Yeah.
That's an antique, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you do pretty good at the auction this last time?
Oh, geez, I bought the old lady a new wristwatch. They sold about a dozen new wristwatches, and I bought one of them for her. And then I bought a dozen of these, what do they call them, breakstone cups. That kind of brown ware that's got brown and white.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they call it? Breakstone? Something like
yeah,
that. Something like that.
I don't know.
Breakstone ware. Geez, if they had a whole bunch of cups there, they probably sold 24 dozen.
Oh.
There were a dozen in a little box, see?
Uh-huh.
And they sold them by the box at $2 a box, $2 a dozen.
$2 a dozen?
Yeah.
Ironstone.
Well, they put them up for bid, see? And they got a $2 bid on it. Well, then the fellow got a dozen. Well, then if anybody else wanted a dozen, well, they got them too. Gee, they peddled the whole bunch.
How about that?
I never heard of anything like that.
Yeah, that's the way they do in a lot of these auctions.
Any kind of a cup would sell for more than that.
Yeah. I come near bidding $3, you know, when they got one fellow bid $1 and somebody else bid $2, see? Well, I come near bidding $3, and I didn't. And, by golly, he let them go for $2, and anybody else that wanted a dozen of them got them. As long as their supply lasted.
You never get into tools or carpentry stuff over there, do you?
Over there at the auction? Yeah, they sell them once in a while. They sold a box over there the other day. They had a lot of wrenches in it. And I run it up to $5. And somebody else bid $6, and they wanted me to bid $7. And I said no. And the other fella got it for $6. But Jesus, there was a lot of wrenches in it. But I didn't need them that bad because I got quite a few wrenches.
Yeah. All sizes.
Yeah. There wasn't any socket wrenches. They was all end wrenches, see?
Oh, yeah.
It's all end wrenches.
You know, I don't have a socket that'll take a spark plug out of a car.
You don't?
No. A 3/4 won't do it.
Yeah?
3/4 is too big, and the next size is too little. 3/4 is too little, and the next size too big. You're getting to the 16th.
Yeah.
I don't know why it should be so hard to have a Why don't they make it 3/4, Mr. Eastman? It makes it simpler. 3/4. That's 4/12. And what it takes is 13/16.
Yeah.
Do you have a 13/16?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, how do you buy those things? You get 16 of them?
Well, I got two or three sets of socket wrenches.
Oh, yeah. But some of them start, some of them, they're not all the same size.
No. I got one set of seven of the extra big ones that goes up to 2 inches.
Oh, Lord.
I got them. I'll tell you what I use them for. You take these bathtubs, you know, some of them, no.
Can't do it?
These bathtubs, some of them have got them faucets that goes back in the wall, and you can't get back in onto them, see?
Yeah.
Well, now the socket wrench, with a, if you put it the square shank into it, it won't go back in, but by leaving the square shank out and letting that go right over the stem of the faucet that goes back in there, you can slide it back in there and then take the pipe wrench and catch right onto the socket and turn it.
So you have to have a whole set in order to get that one.
Huh?
You have to have the whole set in order to get that
one. Yeah.
Can you go to the store and buy the single ones?
You can, yes, down at Johnny Palmer's.
Can you?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't change your spark plugs anyhow.
No, not very often. I do in the lawnmowers, one thing and another. But I've got a box end wrench that that fits them too.
That'll work for the lawnmower.
Yeah.
But it won't work for your cars.
I don't know whether it will or not. I guess it will on some cars, and some cars it won't.
Mr. Eastman, the people are very bad about borrowing your tools.
They don't bother borrowing too many. Well, we got a fellow who lives in a trailer in back of me there, and he come and borrowed a socket wrench to take the spark plugs out of his car. As soon as he got them changed, well, he brought it right back.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's nice when people can kind of lend amongst themselves.
Yeah.
The way he can borrow a little from you and you can borrow a little from him. It's pretty bad when a fellow's got to go buy everything he uses, ain't it?
Yeah. God, you know, I was down there at the auction and I sold two of them grease guns. And I thought, geez, that I'd ought to take and buy one of them, but God damn it, they went pretty high.
Oh.
So I didn't buy them. Geez, it wasn't on 2-3 days after that that I had use for one, and I had to go down to Bob Becker's and borrow one to grease a water pump with.
Yeah.
And you paid about twice as much.
Well, I just borrowed one off of Bob down there.
I see, just right.
Put some grease in the water pump.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do with this field over here. I guess it's so dry, he's just letting it go.
Maybe.
We've been getting some vegetables over there.
Well, has he got anything there besides turnips?
He had beets and lettuce and...
Oh, he did, huh?
Several things.
Oh.
Of course, it's all gone now. It's been there too long.
Yeah.
We got some of those beets over there, and they weren't good to eat.
They wasn't.
Mm-mm. So Faye tried them out on the horses, and the horses like them.
They do.
Turnips.
Turnips. I mean turnips. Most of that field was in greens, your turnip greens, you know. I never dreamed that a horse would eat a turnip. I mean a beet.
Yeah.
I mean a turnip.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a young lad, my father used to raise them sugar beets.
Yeah.
You know, they'd get some of them that big around, you know, and they'd be that high. Well, we used to take and go out and get a wagon box load of them and bring them right into the barn and cart them right up just like wood. We had to have them carted right up in the barn just like wood, just like you'd pile wood.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then all in the winter, you know, just my father had just like a cleaver, you know, see, made out of a cross-cut saw, sharp. You take them, you know, and geez, you put them right on. I had a block of wood purpose to put it right on there, and you just take that and geez, they can cut them right off. And just, well, you can slice it right off about, oh, 3/4 to 1 inch wide. Just come right down with it, you know, like that. Cut them right off, and then take and turn them right around the other way and split them right half in two. And geez, how the cows would eat them things.
Oh!
Oh, boy, how the cows would go at him.
And it's good for them.
Yeah.
Now, that was in the winter.
Yeah, that was in the winter.
What did you do in them days, Mr. Eastman, for protein?
For what?
Protein.
For protein? What,
for the cows? Yeah.
Oh, well, we used to buy cow feed there, and then we'd have, we'd take oats and corn and peas. And sometimes barley, and grind it all right up together, see?
Yeah.
Feed the cows.
But there wouldn't be any protein in it.
Well, then you take and buy some of that...
cottonseed meal?
Yeah. You buy cottonseed meal and oil meal.
Oh.
Mix some of that in.
Did you buy a right smart of that?
Well, we used to buy quite a little of it.
You know, when I made silage up here, that's the way I went broke.
Yeah?
I lost money on the silage. But when I started feeding the silage, the cows kept going down, and what I found was, you see, it didn't have any protein in it.
Yeah.
So by the time you pay $5 for a bag of protein, and at one feeding, you see, and the winter is about 4 months long. You know, I don't think everybody appreciates how much winter we have down here.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a young lad going to high school, I don't know, I was in the next to the last year or the last year of high school. I see a fellow downtown one day and had a team of horses down there, and this one horse is poorer than the devil. And I don't know what prompted me, but when I happened to look at the horse's teeth, and Jesus, I see the damn horse wasn't only 5 or 6 years old, poorer than the devil. And I asked the fellow if he didn't feed that horse anything, and he kind of got a little bit sore about it. Well, he wanted to sell it. God damn thing, he says, I can't do none with her. He says, I want to sell her. I said, what do you want? How much you want for her? By Jesus, he'd take $10 for her. I said, well, just where do you live? And he told me right where he lived. And I said, I'll give you $5 now, and I'll come over and get her tomorrow, and bring the other $5. Jesus, I went over and got that mare. Brought her home, and geez, my old man, oh God, he laughed and had a big time over it. Me buying such a looking damn thing as that is.
Yeah.
Well, I got a little oil meal, you know, and I'd feed her some oats, and I'd throw a good big hand of oil meal in it, you know. Jesus, the next thing you know, her hair began to shine, you know, and God, she began to pick up.
Yeah.
And I kept right on, and geez, it comes spring, and you wouldn't have known that damned horse.
Yeah, for $10.
Yeah, geez, you wouldn't know her.
Oil, what you call it?
Oil meal.
Oil meal. Now, what oil is that?
Well, God, I don't know. It's kind of brown, but it's That oil meal is made out of cottonseed.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And she made you a good horse, good man.
Oh, gosh, she turned out to be a hell of a good horse.
Well, the only thing about it, Mr. Eastman, if you feed them up like that and worm them too, they get so much spirit they'll...
Oh, God, she was a good spirited horse, I'll tell you. When
they get too much spirit.
You hook her onto a buggy and I'm telling you them wheels are going to spin.
Yeah, I'd let her... I wouldn't do all that at one time. If I go and feed them up, I wouldn't worm them all the same go-around. They get to feeling too frisky.
Yeah. I know that mare. I was taking dancing lessons down in the city, and to 15 miles, and I could leave home up there with my girlfriend. And in just an hour, I could figure on being in the hotel barn down there in Oneida.
15 miles?
Yeah. Jesus, boy, she could really travel.
That same horse?
Yeah.
You and your girlfriend.
Yeah. Jesus, boy, all you got to do is just sit there and hang on to her.
15 miles.
In an hour?
Yeah.
That's as far as I'm here to gain for, Mr.
Yeah. Just about such a road as near to Gainesville.
Yeah. Golly.
She'd do it every week. We went down there every week.
And good dancing lesson.
Yeah.
You covered a lot of territory in your time, yeah. Mr. Ethan.
We were taking dancing lessons down there. This girlfriend of mine. I finally married her, but that was before we was married. Well, there was another girl down there taking dancing lessons, and she'd come there into the dance hall, and she'd be about half polluted.
Yeah.
And by gee, now I'm telling you that she and I could get up on the floor, and we really cut the cake.
Is that right?
God damn, boy, she and I really could dance. And boy, that'd make my wife mad. Oh, Jesus. Sometimes she wouldn't speak to me all the way home.
And she'd be sort of polluted.
Yeah. There was a woman come down from Syracuse. Bessie Squires, her name was. And she run a dance studio up in Syracuse, and she come down to give dancing lessons down in the Munnsville where we lived there, in the hall down there. Well, I went up to Syracuse looking for a job after I got out of high school, and I went up to Franklin Automobile Works, and I didn't get the job that I went after, but. I stayed up there 3-4 days. So I went down to this, to her dance studio, you know. And she introduced me around to some of them other women in there, you know. Jesus, boy, I could cut it right down in them days. Jesus, all them women, they thought that I was some dance instructor from New York City that had come up there. Jesus, what a time I had.
Yeah, I'll be dead blind, Mr. Eaton. Dead blind. Just think about it. You know, but you don't feel like a dancing instructor now.
Oh, Jesus, I my feet to get all tangled up.
Well, you remember old Cookie? Cookie was down there. He ran a filling station down there for a while. That Bay Station, right there off University Avenue on 441. And he was put in low spirits then, Mr. Eastman. He had to get there early and stay late, and the thing that hurt him the most is he had to put in half a day on Saturday. You know, And I remember one time he was there sort of feeling sorry for himself, and he said he'd just been trading some horses. And he says, he just said sort of halfway to himself, he says, you know, all these people that come in here, they wouldn't believe that I'm a horse trader on top of all this, would they? He just stayed up there and making a living, you see. He traded horses. That's that was where his heart was. Yeah, he was good. He's a good trader.
Yeah.
Good trader. I've heard him talk about his trades. You know, they make a little one time and lose a little another time. They don't. They're not too much money in it, you know. Trading horses, Mr. Eastman, they don't make as much on a horse as I do on a calf.
Yeah. I was staying with an uncle one time going to school on the farm, and then my uncle was he'd been in the West for years, he and his brother, the two of them out there, and they homesteaded it when they opened up the West out there, you know, and then they'd go from, he was in half a dozen different states out there, and they would, they'd sell out everything but what they could take and carry in a lumber wagon, see, with a pair of horses or a pair of mules. And they were the two families of them, the two brothers and their wives. And one uncle had one girl, and that was the only kid that they had. And they'd take and start out, and they'd go on, you know, till they find some other place for sale.
Yeah.
And then they'd take and buy that, and they'd stay there a while. And geez, they'd sell out and move on. Geez, and that's the way they went all through old Nebraska and Arkansas and Missouri and all them out in there. Well, this uncle come back, and he bought a big farm, and I was there helping him with the chores and going to school. And he was talking about buying a pair of mules. He had four horses there, but he was talking about buying a pair of mules. So there was this fellow over there that had a big Spanish shack and half a dozen mules, you know, he was raising them, you see. So we went over there to see about buying a pair of mules. Jesus, this old Jackie, whoa, you know, he's had, and he put his goddamn hind feet right straight up in the air, and he stood right just as straight up as could be there. I thought he was going on and over, but he didn't. Well, you know, I got all done wanting anything to do with a mule right there.
If it's going to be any kin to Jack?
Huh? Why, Jesus, I didn't want no mules.
You didn't want anything kin to that Jack,
no,
Eastman?
Thank God if they were going to kick like that, I didn't want no mules.
Mister, you know, I all those mules that we, that's all we had was mules. Cookie brought a mule up here. He was about 28 years old. Some old fella had him down here. He didn't live long afterwards, but Ada, they call that mule. And he left the mule out here for a day or two, and you know that mule was the most company. That mule would go like a jack, you know, and you couldn't go out of the house but what she wouldn't see you. And she also, you could work her to a plow. Why, you know, an animal like that put you in business. And entertain you, too. Well, she could kick, I guess, some of them. I never had much confidence. They always warned me about getting around to the wrong end of a mule. Did you ever, they tell you?
Jesus, I never got kicked in one, but I see a blacksmith one time, you know, their hands are harder than the devil, you know,
and
shoes and iron and that stuff. I see that we were through an auction, and they had quite a few mules going to sell there with horses and cows and one thing and another. The damn blacksmith there, he always had a big wad of tobacco in his mouth there, you know. And he turned around behind that mule, and he spit right down right behind that mule. No, he had a wad of tobacco. And he throwed it down just like that, see? And he threw that down, that damn mule kicked him right on the hand. And you know, it must have come like that. Because Jesus, his hand all raised right up in a great big blister. Well, that mule just pocked him right on the hand.
Golly.
Yes, sir.
Golly.
And this cannon factory that was having that auction, they had a big farm up there. I don't know how many thousand acres it was in it, but there was this big pasture. Probably had 500 or 600 acres in it. And geez, he had 8 or 9 carloads of mules in there. And they was all sizes. All sizes and all ages. Well, I never give anything any thought about it, and I was out pheasant hunting, and I started out across there. Jesus, the next thing I knew, I happened to look one way and the other way, and the goddamn mules was coming from all directions, right at me. You know, I was strange in there, see?
Yeah.
And they were going to investigate. By Jesus, I had quite a time getting out of there.
Now, where was that?
Cause up in New York State. Because I started out this way here, you know, and them damn mules all started, and the ones that were coming this way, they cut right in.
Well, now, what was they doing with so many of them?
Well, he carloaded them in from the west.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'd have an auction to see and sell them all.
I never heard about carloading mules in from the west.
Yeah, oh, God, he carloaded a lot of them then.
Well, I've heard about them western horses, you see, western ponies.
They bring in mules there, too. Well, there was an old horse jockey there in town, horse dealer in town there, that he used to go out and get, well, about every 2 months he'd go out west and get in and bring a carload in, or two, and he'd always have half a dozen pairs of mules in with the horses, bringing them in.
Yeah. And they just load them in there together, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
God almighty. If I was to do that, there'd be half of them dead by the time they got home.
I bought 2 or 3 pair of them western horses.
You did?
Yeah. When I was farming.
They wasn't even broke.
Well, they were supposed to be, but and some of them were darn poor broke.
Yeah. And you mean you worked with them?
Huh?
You mean you could work with them?
Yeah. Sure, we had them on the farm.
Yeah. Well, and they never did hurt you or anything.
I thought they were pretty wild.
See what that is.
From out there? Well, some of them was. Some of them, you take them broncos out there, you know, boy, some of them. Jesus, a fellow brought in a carload of them broncos there once. They tried riding them, you know. Jesus, they'd run and hell, you couldn't stop and save your soul. There was one fellow there, he went around and around a lot and tried to run the horse into a haystack, trying to stop it. That damn horse, he'd get right up there going like the devil, right up there and get all off that haystack, and he'd swing right around, you know, and put near dump the fellow off.
He couldn't stop him, so he just tried to run him in the haystack.
Yeah. There was one fellow there calculated to be quite a horseman. And he got on that one horse. And Jesus, they went around there, you know, where that horse was just solid lather from sweating, you know. And he couldn't stop him. Finally, the damn horse see the barn doors, and he run right in for the barn doors, and Jesus, the fella ducked, and he got down just enough so that he could get in there. He got in there, and that fella was just as white as a sheet. And I says to this horse jockey that owned him, man, I said, Jesus, I said, Jim is pretty white. But by God, he says, he's got a right to be.
Is that right? God damn. And that wasn't one of them Texas ponies.
No, I don't know where they did bring them in from.
Yeah, but they had been brought in.
But they was part wild, you know. They was in what they called them broncos.
Yeah.
You can't imagine who's here.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Hello.
Well, good evening. Good evening. We're just talking about breaking Broncos.
Right.
Pull up a chair and I'll turn on the light.
That's a rough subject,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
It's
well,
here.
I gotta go home.
Well, you can't go right now. You just getting in on.
Just stayed too long.
Yeah.
No, have a seat there, Miss Mary. I'll sit right over here. This is a low chair. We don't have but a minute. Don't say that.
He was telling about we
don't
was talking about
that.
Them horses and all that they got up there, and he said them people, you know, they'd go out there and west and bring a trainload of men. And they'd bring mules. I didn't know they had Western mules.
Yeah.
I never heard of it. Never heard of it.
I tell you, most of the mules that we get in this state is raised in Tennessee and further up.
Yes.
You hardly ever get any mules.
Well, he was bringing in horses there from Nebraska, Broken Bow, Nebraska.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He brought in, he came in one time with it. As pretty a pair of dapple gray mules as you ever laid eyes on.
Yeah.
Gee, they was a handsome pair. But boy, you know, they'd run away to drop your hat. And
yeah.
That's
see, he's not a mule man.
He don't like mules.
You never had mules?
Oh, yes, sir. I plowed many a fur with a mule.
Yeah?
We used to have a mule that Mr. Guthrie pinned his cattle on.
Yeah.
As good a cow horse as you ever seen.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Guthrie had a mule that worked the cattle with it.
Yeah?
Yes.
Like a cow pony, huh?
Cow pony.
You can get one that'll ride. They're good.
Yeah? Well, I never owned a mule. I've had lots of horses, but I never had any mule.
The best ones you ever had was them Morgans.
That's a good horse.
How did you come by those, Morgan?
Well, my father-in-law bought a pair of Western mares, and they both of them had colts. Well, this one mare turned out, she was as nice and gentle a damn thing as you ever see in your life, as long as she had the colt in her. And just as soon as she got the colt out of her, she was one of the meanest damned horses that God ever let live.
You mean there's some
that's
like
Morgan.
That?
That's Morgan.
No,
all
she
that
wasn't
way.
A Morgan.
She wasn't a
no,
Morgan.
No, she was a Western mare. And the other mare there, she had a beautiful colt. And there was this fellow that had this pair of Morgans, and he had a mate to that colt. Well, he wanted that colt bad to go with his colt, see? So we finally traded him that mean mare and this good colt for that pair of Morgans, and I forgot what my father-in-law, I think my father-in-law gave him $100 to boot for that pair of Morgans. Well, then my father-in-law got sick and I had to take over the farm, so I bought the pair of Morgans off my father-in-law. That's the way I come
I
by them.
Uh-huh.
Well, was there mean, they mean the
now, this is Channel 1 Riot around 1600, and I've cut it off. Marvin and Miss Mary have come. Mr. Eastman's about ready to go home, and I turned it over on the overside so it had all that room. And this is the night Jeffrey Sterling came. That's Monday, the 29th of April, 74. Monday, the 29th of April, 74. And this is the end of Channel 1 Riot, and it'll be continued on the other side, on the other side, it's just Marvin. Mr. Eastman goes on home. But now, Miss Mary and Marvin are talking to Mr. Eastman, and they have just come in. Mr. Eastman has been doing some fine talk. This is one of his good nights, and he was here for a long time after Jeffrey left this Monday, the 29th of April, 74.